This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome back to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, the weekly gaming podcast where we get intimate on a one-on-one setting.
Very intimate.
I'm joined by Archer. Hello, Archer.
I'm so excited.
My name is Elliot.
Excited is
for anybody interested. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
This is our first intimate.
Wink.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I like
Ooh.
It. It's already steamy in the room.
It is steamy.
Today we're going to be talking about walking simulators and basically like what defines a game, I guess.
Yeah, well, walking simulators are an interesting one. They're quite a new genre as far as like definitions are concerned.
Yeah, I think so too. Like the first time I saw that term used was Dear Esther.
It's still pretty vague as well as to what is exactly defines a walking simulator.
I'll give it my best go, shall
yeah,
I?
Yeah, go ahead. Define
so,
it
like,
for us.
A walking simulator is a video game. Essentially, although that's
wow,
still...
okay, so got that down. So,
video game.
Check.
Where your interaction with the world is incredibly limited. Mm-hmm. Basically limited to walking.
So, what are the games that spring to mind for you immediately when you think walking simulator?
Definitely Dear Esther, because I've got that connection. Like, that's the first time I saw the term used. And to be honest, it was used derogatorily, like, often. Like, people
I think that's how it came to be.
Brush.
I think that's how it came to be. It was a derogatory term, but people are like, oh, I actually really enjoy these games.
But it also became a useful definition because there are a subset of people who enjoy just that minimal interaction with the game, letting the story unfold, but you're just progressing through it.
And we hit critical popularity with games like The Stanley Parable.
Yeah, so I would say that was definitely a walking simulator. You're just like, there's a narrator and you're making choices by walking through like door A or door B, but essentially, all you're doing is walking.
But apparently, you can have more games that fit into that, but still have more interaction. So, Firewatch also apparently can be categorized as a walking simulator because according to some, your actions with the world are quite minimal. You do have decisions and choices to make, but there's not a traditional gameplay mechanic that frames everything. What the mechanic is your movement around and progression through the story.
Yeah.
So that's probably a good way to define it. So the central mechanic is the storytelling rather than anything else.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like the progression and you moving through that story is the reason that game exists.
Mm-hmm. So Firewatch is one of the ones that have more activity. Amnesia, a machine for pigs.
Yeah, so I brought this up as well. So I think horror games can get away with being walking simulators because the idea of a horror is the impact of what's happening around you happening to you, I guess.
Well, and limiting what you can do to fight back and limiting that
to
just
that's become
get away.
That's become a popular like
well,
tool.
It really helps with horror because people know they can't fight back if they can't fight back.
Yeah.
And running away, it just intrinsically helps with your fear. You either have a fight or flight response and the one that's going to create a more fearful reaction to the person and a less like aggressive and fight back response is the flight. So you move away, run, you can't do anything, just keep moving.
Yeah.
Just helps contribute to that whole horror atmosphere.
So Amnesia actually is kind of an interesting one in that regard because the original game had more interactivity than the second game. And funnily enough, the second game was developed by the Chinese Room who made Dear Esther.
How about that?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Dear Esther? I don't know much about it.
I did.
Tell us a bit. What is it?
It's funny because like I kind of agree. It's barely a video game, but you know, like I don't like defining what is a video game. That doesn't seem helpful.
No.
But it is funny because like you're so used to video games where you have some level of interactivity. That's kind of almost like how people view video games over like film or something, is that you have interactivity. But when the only interactivity is you moving the joystick or moving the WASD keys to move your character, like it's at that point, the interactivity is so limited that people would be like, well, that's not a game.
These people are silly because what is interactivity then? If anything more than that definition, Mario Brothers is move in on a single axis and jump.
Yeah, but there's a... Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate because I totally agree, like, we shouldn't be classifying what is, what isn't a game. Mm-hmm. Like, But the Mario Brothers, like, there's a win state, there's a fail state, like, there's an objective. Whereas Dear Esther, there's none of those things. You're just progressing.
Yeah, but you're you still have states. You have the state of the game not running. You have the state of not playing. You have the state of stopping and not picking up again. I don't know. I think a good fail state for a video game, especially if you want to get nerdy into game theory, is just to have the player not be able to win. This is the idea behind Endless Runners. That doesn't have a win or a fail state, but it's still a game.
Yeah, but also, yeah, it doesn't have a completion state, though. Whereas Dear Esther does, like, you just...
So that is, yeah. It's even more a game than Endless Runner. It's more of a game than Temple Run, according to these naysayers who think they can put these labels on what is a game and what isn't a game.
How dare they define my hobby?
Yeah, right? Rude. Yeah.
So Dear Esther, I actually did get something out of it because I liked the world that was created. I liked the narration. I liked the story that was being unfolded in front of me, even though that story was really abstract. Like, it wasn't defined.
One of my absolute favorites that comes into this, and it can be described as more of a puzzle game as well, but it has mechanics of a walking simulator and a puzzle game. I enjoy it more for the walking simulator aspects than the puzzle, which is Numa Breath of Life, because it has a really good commentary on what it is to be a video game. So it's about what it is for the player to be controlling this character and how that character relates itself to its universe and then to the player themselves, and that how the player holds responsibility over this being if they're directing them. It's really good and I highly recommend.
Wow.
I've banged on about it a few times.
I haven't actually experienced this game under any capacity.
Definitely have a look at it. Numa Breath of Life.
Okay. I'll jot that one down in my memory bank.
You think I should play Dear Esther?
I mean, I'm not, it's one of those games that I wouldn't go out and say, hey, you, play Dear Esther, because I absolutely realize that not everybody's going to enjoy this experience, but me, as somebody who, I, enjoy short games that can offer, something simple and then give it to me perfectly, that's all Dear Esther wanted to do. It just wanted to be this barely interactable experience that just unfolded a story.
I can appreciate that.
And it was only, 2 hours long, so,
Gone Home.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I could see Gone Home being described as a walking simulator too. The game is just about... Although, Gone Home, you're walking within a very confined space.
I found Gone Home, I didn't know much about it when I first started. I just knew it had LGBT representation, and I thought, that'd be interesting, I should try that. And so, I gave it a go, and at the start, I thought it was going to be a horror game, and I was quite set on edge based on how it was presented, because it presents like it could turn dark at any second, but it just doesn't.
It is interesting, isn't it? I totally understand that vibe. I kind of knew going into it that it wasn't a horror game, mm-hmm. but I didn't know the LGBT side of things. I just kind of experienced it for what it was.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I really, really like Gone Home. I just love games that try to do something a bit different.
Have you played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture?
Have not played Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Another good example of walking simulator, as far as I've heard.
It's very good. It was raised by a number of people in our post about narrative-driven games.
I
am yet to play it. I should definitely.
It's probably something we should both play.
Overall reviews, mostly positive. So I guess take a look.
Thank you, Steam.
Thank you.
Steam. So do you then fall into the category of we shouldn't define what is a video game?
Yeah, I don't think that's helpful.
What about, I mean, it's helpful in the sense that...
what would you call it if not a video game? Because that's what it is. It's on Steam. It's been written in Unreal or Unity or whatever.
Oh, if we're talking walking simulator, sure. But there are stuff like interactive wallpapers, for instance, that just exist and you can, move a camera around. And that some of those try to pass themselves off as games as well.
But does that matter? What's its name doing to you?
I feel personally attacked.
You feel personally attacked. I feel very attacked. Kill a ganja.
Yeah. No, it's not that it's just that it weasels, some things try to weasel their way onto platforms like Steam because they are so open. And if they pass themselves off as something that they're not, it can be damaging, as in it removes visibility from other products. But ultimately, that's such a small thing to complain about.
I think that's Steam's fault more than anything.
Yeah,
because
they've got no fundamental curation, so it becomes whatever.
Yeah, I don't think limiting a art form by definitions that humans can articulate is helpful.
I've got a good one for you.
Yeah.
So there are certain games as part of the 1-2 switch game,
yeah.
I guess, that you don't use a screen at all.
Yeah.
You just have the Wiimotes in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a video game? There's no video format.
Yes.
There's no video format. It, surely it's just a game at that point.
How?
Because there's no video.
But you're using a video game console.
Yeah, I could use a video game console and throw it at my brother and say, look, I'm having fun playing this game.
So, okay, say you're playing Wii Bowling,
yeah,
but you turn your TV off. Is that no longer a video game?
Well, what are you doing? You're just swinging a stick.
No, but you're, like, you're still generating score of the console and the game is still running. All the subroutines of the game are still running and are active.
But you're not interacting with that.
Yeah, you are.
How?
Through the controller.
No, as in, like, you're
it's
not...
It's still happening. You just don't have a video feed. If a blind person is playing a video game, is it no longer a video game?
Yes.
No, really? No.
I mean, it's interesting, but like, I don't know. I feel like sometimes things need to be defined just so we can talk about it in as far as academia and
stuff
like that.
I simply feel the name video game, because of how it's constructed, limits people's thinking of how it is, of what it is and what it can be. To make a clumsy analogy, if you think of like... An autonomous car, so a car that can drive itself.
Yep.
Even calling it an autonomous car limits your mind's ability to think of what it can do and what it can be.
That's a world we live in. Like, you need definitions for marketing
no,
and
you
conversation.
Don't. Well, limiting the product because of marketing, that's the wrong way of thinking. You should be trying to craft your marketing around around the possibilities that the product can be. So if you have
We're moving like, so far off
an
topic.
Autonomous car, you can have the same technology and attach it to a shopping trolley and make it autonomous. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is an autonomous device that moves from one section to another.
What you're saying is we should remove definitions.
Well, it's just not make them so particular.
Rigid.
Yeah. And be okay if things don't match up properly, because we've had this issue with genre for years across every different medium. Like, look at music. Like, people to invent genres to try and fit with what they're doing, and that's perfectly fine. They can call it whatever they want.
Is TV static music?
If someone wants it to be.
Oh, I think you're trying to appease too many people.
I'm not making a definition. If someone's going to sample TV static and use it in their artistic expression, then that's fine. That's up to them.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just TV static.
Well, we use TV static in games, but TV static is sound.
Yeah, so but it's not music.
I'm not getting into the discussion of the difference between sound and music.
I'm trying to throw you.
I'm not academically trained in music. I'm academically trained in video games, so I can talk about that. But the idea of like it being a video game, because like that's just a term that we invented based on what we had at the time. You played it using videos, and it was a mixture between video and games.
So you're
games.
Saying the word
and
video game
a,
is outdated.
We just made
point.
A portmanteau, and now that's narrowing how people perceive the artistic form of video games, where if you just call it a game, then a game could literally mean anything that you play with, then... You're all good.
But what's the point of a word like video game if, like, by your definition, we shouldn't be labeling it?
But...
Like, if any board game can be called a video game...
I'm not saying any board game could be called a video game. I'm just saying call them all games. If you're so upset that a particular video game doesn't fit your definition, then it's your definition that's too narrow. If that person wants to call it a video game, then that's fine. Like, why does that hurt
I think that's the thing to take away from this. If somebody wants... to define something as video game for them, like...
Yeah, because no matter what definition you provide, you're probably going to run into an exception to your own rule.
Yeah.
Because, like...
I
like
still say some of those Wii games aren't.
Like, FMVs, we were talking about them earlier. Like, they're video games, but, like, that interaction is minimal. You switch between video feeds, and then you switch between video feeds again.
Mm.
Like, it's literally just forks. And that's it. It's not like full interaction, but they're still categorized as video games and they have their own genre. But then we're like, oh, well, you just move and walk forward, but this game is fully built in a standard video game engine on a video game platform and use a video game controller, but it's not a video game because I said so. It's like a weird distinction to make just because of someone's own, I guess, ego.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it would come down to ego, but like at the same time, I understand... the benefit of having stricter definitions so that things can be talked about in like an academia setting or just in an analysis setting or like just to have this conversation is interesting.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of Steam's user tags because you can have multiples. And that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Using a single term to define it, that doesn't help. Like you brought up this example before of the 1-2 Switch games which don't involve the screen whatsoever. That's a mixed experience. You're mixing the idea of a video game and a physical game. And you have here different genres which mix the idea of one genre and another genre. And that's fine as well. Mixed artistic forms are good and then like create new experiences and you get to develop and learn new things. These people that try to funnel a particular genre or video games into their own narrow silo misinterpreting what it is to consume an art form and don't understand that they are consuming an art form and want to consider it like, oh, it's always been my little bro-y thing that I just do. No, it's so much bigger than you. There's so much going on and you just let people do what they want to do with how they want to build things.
Yeah.
It's good.
That got intimate.
Yeah, it did. It did get intimate. Well, we covered a lot. It was good fun.
I enjoyed it.
Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you, Archer.
This has been Checkpoint Intimate.
Checkpoint Intimate. Join us next week.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.